Something stinks in this house, and I think it's a ghost. I need to find it with Andrew Main's Ghost Vision Viewer app. It's on the iTunes store. It's only 99 cents, available for iPhone. And now the iPad, Ghost Vision HD. You have a radar, maps out points in space, and tells you highly improbable and potentially paranormal events are taking place. Imagers, word generators, PK detectors, arrows, yes or no. Yeah, everything you need to find out where that stink is. It's like fish made out with eggs. You know, unlike EMF or EVP detectors, not prone toward false positives. And now you can get on your iPad, big fat display. You can make sure that you track down that stank ghost. So get a demo, andrewmain.com/ghostvision. Check it out on iTunes. Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main. Joining me is Mr. Justin Robert Young.
Yo, everybody.
Mr. Brian Brushwood.
Tsingtao, Asahi. Those are two beers from Asia.
Okay, all right. You sure it's not some sort of Klingon thing you learned in college?
Could be. Not going to say. You'll have to torture me if you want the results.
Done.
I remember the one thing that I learned at Dragon Con, my first Dragon Con, was somebody like actually pulled me aside and said, hey, listen, you might think it's cool to party with Klingons, but it is not cool to party with Klingons. Like, do you think like, oh no, this is going to be awesome. They're all dressed like Klingon and they're talking Klingon and they want to get really like aggro and push each other, but like they actually want to break somebody's face.
Oh my God.
I first off, no disrespect to any of our Klingon listeners up there. When somebody comes up to me and says, you might think it'd be cool to party with Klingons, first answer is going to be no.
I know, I got sat down like an after school special.
But I'd love to, I wonder what the party is with the Romulans are like. The Romulans are all just, they're all bitter because they're not invited to the party. So they're like connive to infiltrate other parties and bring them down.
Disguised as. Well, I remember a magician friend of mine who got to spend some time with one of his heroes, a magician who we will not name, who was left with some very, very important advice about partying at magic conventions. He says, don't smoke crack. You know what crack is like? Just get a plastic straw, light it, and inhale. That's what it's like. So that's the kind of wonderful wisdom that we pass down to each other.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the first 5 minutes of this episode of Weird Things, we have let you know not to party with Klingons and don't smoke crack at a magic convention.
True that. So I want to try something here. We had a pretty good reaction last week with the scenario I gave you gentlemen, and I've got another one, and I'm going to let you two do some role-playing here.
Yeah, all right.
See where it goes, and... All right, here's what I want you to imagine.
Okay.
Brian?
Yes.
You and Justin?
Yes.
You're cops.
Yeah!
Yeah. Are we totally buff? Totally buff, right? Oh, and dude, I have a mustache.
When you pull up to a scene, people either think you guys are strippers or the Village People. That's how buff
nice.
You are.
Nice.
Yes.
That may or may not be because I have my uniform tied up, like, so my ass
You have your
are
pants legs rolled all the way up to your mid-thigh.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wearing cutoffs like Lieutenant Dangle in Reno 911.
Right. Yes.
And like people complain, be like, "Hey, it's community outreach."
We're wearing our mirrored sunglasses.
Oh, definitely.
Drinking our Keystone Lights.
But you got
well, no, that's illegal.
We're Keystone cops.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. You're on the night beat, but yes,
we're
you do
Pennsylvania.
Wear.
Pennsylvania. That's why we're Keystone cops.
But you're patrolling in South Florida.
Yes.
So you're driving along, you get a call. There's a car wreck. You pull up your squad car. Well, I'll let you decide. You race up, you pull up, whatever. You see some car pulled off the side of the road, kind of in a bit of a gutter. Lights are still on.
Okay, and we're just on patrol,
yeah.
Like for the night. We're just
you got
just
a call. Like somebody said, hey, we just saw a car go off the road.
All right. Well, then procedure, right, Brian, would be to pull up and investigate the situation.
Yeah, no, but I tell you, I'm not walking up. with nothing. I mean, I'm not only do I have my sidearm, but it's like I'm pulling out my billy club, my nightstick, just in case. You never know.
You're not double fisting weaponry.
No, come on. I'm not saying it's in my hand. I'm just saying I'm going to walk up and I'm going to tap the window with my nightstick. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Whoa. Back up there. Okay. By the way, you guys need to have nicknames. What are your nicknames so I know how to refer to you?
Well, I'm the fudge.
The fudge.
Which means, no, but if you're the nothing. The, then I have to be a single name.
I know. That's the rule.
I think we should nickname each other.
Okay. You are the fudge.
I can't be the fudge.
You can't be the fudge.
I don't want to be the... Oh, God damn it. I can't believe that.
You're trapped. You still have to come up with a single name.
Your name's Spiro. It's Spiro and the fudge.
Spiro and the fudge. All right. All right, so Spiro and the Fudge, you pull up on the scene. Now, we've already got Spiro just running right up and tapping on the window, but let me describe the scene for you first, okay?
See, the Fudge doesn't roll that way. Spiro, he's all like, you know, it's like, I'm going to run ahead first into this and tap things.
Because you are mixing two completely different reactions. Like, if you're running up on something, you're making sure that somebody's okay or something you need to investigate quickly. You don't run up to a car so you can gently tap on the window to see if someone's going to open the door.
Laid out the scene for you. All right, go ahead. The front, the driver's side door is open, so you can go run up there and tap on the window if you want to, but it's an open door. Okay, hanging.
You've made your decision, Spiro.
Hanging half out of the car, There's a body. There's a man. Okay, just leaning outside the car, like he's trying to get away from there. There's blood. Okay, there's blood everywhere.
The driver's side.
Yes, Brian. Out of the driver's side.
Okay. Well, I tap him with my nightstick.
Spiro. Spiro runs up to the window, taps it, goes, "Can you hear this? Can you hear this? Can you hear this?"
But mainly to see if because he appears to be under the influence of drugs or alcohol. He's clearly not in control. I just want to gauge his reaction. So I'm going to tap him with the nightstick a few times. Does he do anything?
Okay. Whoa.
All right, Spiro. Number one, I'm gonna go ahead and ask you to slow your roll. First things first, we turn the spotlight on the car on him, and we ask him to please step out of the vehicle and put his hands on the car. Mm. Right? That seems procedural.
Listen, yeah. There's a reason you and I work well together, the fudge.
Listen, TF, this is why I keep you around.
So, the fudge, who gets on the APA or the PA system?
I'm on the PA system.
All right, shout it out.
Sir, can you please step out of the car and put your hands on the vehicle? Sir. Oh, wait, so he doesn't get out?
He does. He's half hanging out, his half body. And you see some blood on his hands and his head, and he just sort of moves a little bit.
Okay, if I see blood, then Spiro, we're going to need to get out of the car and draw our weapon. There's blood on his hands. We got to just draw
already have my nightstick. Like, we were sitting in the car and my nightstick was out and I was just waiting.
As Spiro gently fingers his nightstick as we patrol the streets.
Fondles it. What color is your nightstick, Spiro?
It's black. Are you high? Of course.
All right. Okay.
Now, I like to imagine that you've got, like, it's black, of course. Like, it's a regular black nightstick. But maybe you've taped something on it. Like, there's some, like, kind of, like, athletic tape.
You know what it is? It's like, I want people to think that, like, I've done something several times with it, but I don't want to say what. And so I, like, have Hello Kitty stickers down the side. There's, like, 8 Hello Kitty stickers down the side. when what's the Hello Kitty for? And
it's does, like, it have it?
You know, like, you talk to the fudge about that.
No! Don't say that. That sounds horrible.
Does it have a name?
I mean, I've already named the fudge.
Does the nightstick have a name?
I call it Little Fudge.
Oh no! Stop that! There's only one way you can connect these dots.
Brian, do you remember what your nickname is?
Spiro.
You're walking around with the nightstick called Little Fudge, and your partner's name is Fudge. All right. Totally cool.
Can we get back to the scenario at hand? Christ. There's somebody who needs our help, okay?
I don't think he wants your help. But as soon as we're done
with this sure to be horrific situation, we have to have a little talk about your nicknames.
Yeah, this guy sees Spiro and you both in your cutoff cop uniforms running towards him with this nightstick with pink Hello Kitty. He thinks he's going to get raped.
Well, number one, going through my mind as a cop, I think that this guy is probably, he's been in some kind of wreck. Either the blood is his, and we're hoping the blood is his, and he's been in some sort of wreck, and he's completely incapacitated. He can't think about things, or it's something far worse. So we draw our weapons, and we get, you know, a closer look with our weapons drawn, continually asking him to get put his hands on the side of the vehicle. And Andrew, I'm assuming he does nothing but groan at us, right?
There's nothing but groan. You get closer to the vehicle. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of credit for having some cop-like instincts. You spread out around the vehicle.
Okay.
And here's the thing you notice. There's no damage to the car.
Car's fine.
Car's fine. This guy just
somebody covered in blood pulled over calmly on the side of the road and took a half nap halfway out the window.
Or glided to a stop on the side of the road. And
sure.
He's bloody. You realize the front windshield, fine.
Okay. So there's no trauma. The blood may still be his, but okay. It wasn't because of an auto wreck.
Before we start going all CSI forensic on this, the fudge, TF, it seems like we need to at least try to rouse the suspect here. You know, kind of like, I mean, I'm not saying we need to be like, you know, we several times say, sir, are you okay? Do you require medical assistance? Have you taken any drugs or alcohol? I'm assuming we get no response to any of this, right, Andrew?
So we get closer and all of a sudden see something move out of the corner of your eye.
Outside of the car?
Okay, real quick, before this happens, we got to call in for a medical response.
All right, you're calling your medical, okay. Yeah. You see something move under the car.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, Spiro, I'm going to need you to go ahead and get on your belly. And take a look at what's under that car.
The problem, I can't reach very far underneath the car, so I really think maybe you should handle that.
No, I think you need to bust out a little fudge and get on your belly and shimmy down under there and poke at whatever's down there.
All right. So I go crawling up. I hike up my pants and I get down on my knees and I just sort of wave.
He pulls out two sets of knee pads, which also raise questions at the police department locker room.
So,
and start shimmying under.
Knee pads. Do they have Hello Kitty stickers on them too?
Yeah. Strangely enough, they do. They do. They were on discount at Toys R Us. But I sweep Little Fudge back and forth underneath the car. Do I hit anything?
Well, you don't see no. Well, yeah, you feel something. You hit something. You hear a hiss, and then it moves further back. Meanwhile, Spiro, you see something move around inside of the car.
No,
the fudge.
Spiro.
Yeah, Spiro's on the ground.
TF.
Sorry.
TF's up. I got my peepers on, and I see somebody move or something move inside of the car.
Yeah.
Wait, inside the car or beneath the car?
Yes.
Both. You're seeing something below, and I'm seeing something in the cab of the vehicle.
Have we called for backup yet?
We're doing that right now.
Okay.
Because initially, all right, so in the progression, it looks like this guy's got some serious medical things wrong with him. At this point, weapons drawn, I call for police backup, and I also call for animal control, and I make my way closer to the vehicle to try and peer
in. How do you know it's an animal? You just saw something
move. I'm just calling for, all right, would you rather not, Spiro?
No, I'm saying you don't do that in real life. You don't see something move out of the corner of your eye and immediately dial animal control.
Well, it doesn't look like a human.
I'm calling a paramedic for the guy who's covered in blood and maybe a second backup car.
So you're telling me you're telling me no animal control.
Dude, why animal? You saw something move. Could be a perpetrator. Could be a criminal. Could be a little fudge.
No, come on. Listen, it seems like there's something that isn't human. I mean, the way that I'm envisioning things, and Andrew, tell me if I'm completely off base. It seems like something non-human, right?
Yeah, I would say your instincts are it's not a person. There's something small, not small, but I mean not human size moving around.
There's a squirrel.
So go ahead and sit on Little Fudge.
So Spiro pulls out his flashlight under the car and he looks and you see two red eyes. Two eyes just glow back at
you. Like eye shine, like a demon.
You get eye shine. You get eye shine back at you and you hear a hissing noise. And all of a sudden it moves towards you.
Sounds like a cat. It was like, hey, we got a cat over here, TF. You have a cat? You want one?
No, I don't. I don't want to, like, dude, there's somebody bleeding to death in this vehicle.
Yeah, he's got some blood on his fingers. The guy's been drinking on all night, obviously. Hang on, I'm going to get this cat.
All right, so Spiro reaches under the vehicle for the kitty cat. And what happens, Andrew?
His hand gets horribly mauled.
Whoa.
All right. All of a sudden, something else jumps at him and bites him, and he's getting bitten at from multiple directions.
Okay. At this point, I start shooting at the creature.
Wait, that's me you're shooting at. Stop shooting at me.
No. I'm an expert. The fudge is an expert marksman, and he's gonna pick him off.
All right.
Pachoo, pachoo, pachoo. Do I hit him?
You're hitting stuff, but then you look around and you finally see what it is, and you're looking at 4-5-foot-long lizards.
Wait, like Komodo dragon-looking things?
They look like them, yeah.
How many of them?
Oh, you look and you see Brian's dealing with a couple under the car.
Spiro.
You look on top of, Spiro's looking at a couple under the car. You look and realize there's one on top of the car staring at you. You realize there's a couple in the seat next to the guy. There's a couple in front of the car.
They're all okay, number one in my head, and I wouldn't say this because it's unprofessional, but how dumb does it look to call animal control now?
Yeah, in my imagination, you totally, in the middle of this crisis, take the time to say that to me, because that's something the fudge would do. The fudge would be sitting there arguing with a currently mauled Spiro, saying, "You didn't want to call animal control, sucker."
No, don't call animal control. Why would we need to? Just call for one backup.
I'm rolling around. I'm rolling around, screaming. I'm sorry, the fudge. TF, if I ever meant anything to you, please call
it's
animal control.
It's eating my eyeball.
It's chewing me alive. These creatures.
All right, so I'm gonna run over and immediately I'm gonna try to start kicking them off, Spiro.
All right, so you kick them off, Spiro, and then you're
fine. All right. I'm pulling them, and then we're trying to get back to the car as soon as possible. All right, I try to bring Spiro back to the car, and then I survey the area and tell me if it's even feasible to try and grab the guy out of the vehicle.
Yeah, it's feasible because the lizards are retreating.
Okay.
Well, you're going to do it. I ain't going to do nothing but sit back in this car and bleed.
No, that's why, hero cop, the fudge. Yes, that's what it's going to read. I'm going to grab the dude out of his car, and all the while I'm thinking about the headlines the next day. Hero Cup, John the Fudge Fachowski.
After his partner was mauled.
His common law partner.
His common law partner.
Well, no, right. Listen, no, I'm going to have to call the paper the next day. That's a misstatement of the facts. Okay?
But they're
I don't care what anybody says.
Spirowski Spiro called us and told us this was a fact. Is this some sort of scheme?
It was not. No, he has, for some reason, he liked my nickname, so he wanted to take that nickname for his nightstick. And I don't know what his fascination with Hello Kitty is or why. He was doing some drywall repairs to his apartment, and that's why he has the knee pads.
And they're like, hey, listen, we don't want to get in the way of a lover's quarrel.
No, this is not a lover's quarrel. I just saved a man from lizards, two men from lizards. So I save them, right? Do I get
love makes you do crazy things.
No, this is not a love thing. I'm a hero cop. I'm John Fucharski.
Tia, come on, man. Just accept your role. You deserve this.
All right. Now, aren't you curious what happened?
Heck yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. All right. I'm absolutely curious because I'm assuming here's my guess. All right. And tell me how close I am. I assume that this guy was dealing with some very exotic animals, was trying to drive them from point A to point B. They got out of whatever he was holding them in. And there's a reason why they're that exotic and they should not be transported by John Q. Idiot.
My guess is that he was high on the crack after visiting a magic convention,
right?
And climbed up a tree and acted a leprechaun.
All right. It's stupider than all of that.
Yes! The essence of a great weird thing scenario.
True story. Happened here in Florida 2 years ago, I believe. Good Samaritan, we had a cold snap, and we have an invasive species. We have a bunch of iguanas. They're all over the place. And these things can get big. These things are
really
very, big.
Very big. I saw them when I visited my parents down in Venezuela. I mean, they look like Komodo dragons. They're freaking gigantic.
And they're
around here too. Like we've seen them like run across the road. They're huge. They're gigantic.
Yeah, they're herbivores by nature, but if provoked, they will bite and they're not pleasant about it. So one of our recent cold snaps, these things, they get so, their body slows down so much, they will literally fall from the trees and sometimes die or sometimes just fall from the trees, just comatose, just frozen. So some genius decides maybe he's going to sell them. The reason for this, nobody's quite figured out why he's going to go around gathering them up.
He goes around collecting the lizard sickles?
I actually remember this now that you start mentioning
so
it.
So he goes around the station wagon collecting all these frozen lizard sickles and piling them up, deciding to stock up on them because he's going to corner the market on eBay.
Holy cow.
Now, what genius forgot to realize was when you have a cold-blooded animal and you put it inside of a car that is heated, the cold-blooded animal gets warm.
Because homeboy did not even have the foresight to be like, listen, all right, I got to transfer these things. I want to sell them, so I'm going to crank my AC up and just bundle up to keep these things frigid as hell.
How many did he have?
I don't know the exact count, but enough that when they came alive, he realized that they were being transported against their will, they revolted and scratched and bit and attacked and went crazy and drove off the side of the road.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, yeah, not for him. And terrifying for them, but just to think, what was it like to be the cops that responded to the scene? Because you come up on this car, and I don't think he got the door open. I don't know what happened. You're going to see this car, blood, and lizards everywhere.
And the rest writes itself.
I'm talking to you right now in this busy Tokyo arcade to tell you about Malik Photography. Visit him at MalikFotography.com and he'll take pictures of weddings or models or anything else. He'll take pictures of just about anything, except for me, because I'm not really in a Tokyo arcade right now. I'm alone in the warehouse. The illusion of radio would be shattered. I'd be revealed for the fraud I am. You'll never get me, Malik. Never! MalikPhotography.com.
So, gentlemen, I think it's time. We could either talk about the Weeping Virgin Mary statue that some woman in Ontario, Canada finally had removed from her yard because everybody came to see it, or Brian, that NASA announcement. How about that?
We should talk about the follow-up to the NASA announcement. Yeah, Not that I wouldn't love to hear about a lady irritated with a miracle of the ages.
Let's get down to NASA beeswax.
Okay. Because what's interesting is I'm going to lay this out how I think this conversation will go. I think Brian will say, see, you said it would be no big deal, and it turns out to be the first ever species that integrates a totally different element into its DNA. This is huge news. And Andrew will say, dude, I said it's just going to be some boring, like, stuff that's not on a foreign planet. And guess
what?
Wait.
You forgot dumbass.
Right. Dumbass stuff that's not.
No, you. Me calling you a dumbass.
Oh, yeah. No, you totally did call me a dumbass. But I think this is something where I could see it from both ways. I can kind of see.
What? Two ways, Bri?
What's that?
Where's old Jerry at? Have you got all the angles figured out there, Cheech?
What was your take?
I am furious with NASA.
Why?
I think this was nonsense. I thought this was, as I said on Weird Things TV, which you can go see my video, NASA equals attention whores. I thought this was the Rickroll of announcements.
Absolutely. Are you talking about?
They sold us a straight cold busted scenario, and they delivered something that in a paper, which I read until my brain hurt, might not even be a scientifically factual announcement.
Oh, not even. So let me get this straight. You are saying in a public arena that you believe NASA is guilty of fraud?
Overstating. I think that there. This is by no means a super gigantic leap. It's something that has been, from what I can gather, and granted, I am no scholar. I'm a guy who suggested that they were going to bring out an alien they had imprisoned.
Okay,
so qualify the source.
Straight cold busted.
Exactly. They straight cold busted snooping on us. So qualify the source, but I do think that this is, from what I can gather, it was not a revolutionary announcement. It was something that had kind of been circled around a little bit before. No. And as there's credible evidence to suggest that the microbiology on this is all wrong.
Now, wait a minute. What are you saying that they don't live in arsenic? That the bugs don't, the bacteria.
Andrew actually understands the paper that he linked on his Twitter, which of course you can follow it at Andrew Main more than I do. But to the larger point, I think that they overstated this as a desperate plea to get attention, and that that NASA should not be pushing the same buttons that people who, you know, have their still frame in YouTube videos be a woman's chest, and then you click on it and it's a tutorial on how to run Final Cut Pro.
So here's my statement on this. One, well, Brian, the idea of a life form living in an arsenic environment, that we knew about. That's why they focused on this bacterium, because this lake had a high arsenic content, and that's why they thought it would be interesting to see what was going on at a molecular level. So this bacterium had been talked about before, and that's why I was a little bit disappointed, because it's like, oh, I've been hearing these stories. And if you do a search for arsenic bacteria in Google News, you'll find a lot of entries. And the thing, but you're right, the thing that made this interesting, the thing that made this very, very theoretically profound, was the idea that in the four most basic elements of our DNA, that it replaced phosphate with arsenic. That is a profound, and that's a very, very big deal. Because if that is true,
like quite possibly one of the biggest deals, because it is the leap that takes us from life as we know it to life as we can't even imagine it to be. And if it makes possible, I mean, I just want to take a moment to really understate how significant that would be as far as our understanding of the possibility of life in different places.
So my first thing is that for where I have been with following all of the sort of developments of what's been going on with both extremophiles and creatures that live in just radically, radically strange and incredible environments, to me, it's not, it is, I think it's cool. It validates the idea that life can live in a lot of places. For a lot of people, that's not an idea we've had trouble accepting. I think for many people, we went inside of nuclear reactors and we found bacteria thriving inside of the most hostile environment you can imagine, that can literally rebuild its DNA even after it's been torn apart. Nothing surprises me anymore at that level. There is a scathing analysis that came out a couple days ago, which we're going to see what's going to happen. And this is from a research biologist who runs a center that specializes in some of the similar areas as far as how bacteria absorb and how they transfer stuff across their membranes. And I don't even understand. And this person, she just totally takes apart the paper, and it accuses it of trying to prove itself instead of trying to disprove it, and trying to do everything they can to, because basically what they did is they took the bacteria, and there are people far more intelligent than I listening to this would be able to correct us on this, but I'm just going to, in broad terms, they took a bacteria that was in a salty alkaline lake that had a large amount of phosphate and arsenic in it, and then they basically tried to starve it as much as they could of phosphate and raise the level of arsenic in there, and kept doing this generation after generation to see what happened. And they looked at the bacteria when they got to a level, and they found that, wow, there's like very high levels of arsenic compared to arsenate, actually, instead of phosphate. And they made the assumption that it's actually using that the arsenic, in this case, the arsenate in the DNA itself. But they didn't actually prove that part of it. They had some indirect evidence that said it could look like it has it in there, but there was still phosphate there. There's still very much the idea that phosphate was making up that part of the DNA, and the arsenic was not as much of in there as they did. And so this person went into great detail.
Well, it sounds to me like, let's say even if there was no phosphate or whatever, and it was all arsenic replaced the role of phosphate, the nature of the experiment, because they are bred specifically to up the amount of arsenic and reduce the amount of phosphate. I mean, it almost sounds like you're suggesting that it could be that they manufactured this aspect.
I can totally understand if while listening to this podcast, you got the concept that we're anti-family, well, with all the murder and the choosing which child gets to live for Brian and stuff like that, but we're not. We love family. We celebrate it every time we record a podcast, and that's surely why Delia and Dimitri Levine decided to buy sponsorships for each other. It's the holiday season. Just tell you about Delia, who I've never met. Number one, Delia has heat vision. You might not know it about her. She's very shy. She'll literally burn a hole through a solid steel wall. Delia Levine. Ba-boom.
Maybe I'm stepping outside the bounds of the show a little bit and just saying, it seemed like both you guys were geared up to want to be disappointed. And that's what was weird about this announcement, is I think if you wanted to accuse NASA of overselling something, then you win. If you wanted to see a revolutionary advance, then you win. So it's like, I think this is a Rorschach announcement.
Let's back up for a second, okay? My frustration stems back to the biggest biological announcement in the last 20 years was when NASA said, we found evidence of bacteria and a meteorite.
First of all, they would not, you know, they didn't say that. They're very careful about equivocating and saying, you know, that what may indicate that perhaps there was, this could be.
They held a press conference with the president introducing it. Okay. I mean, it was regarded by other people in the scientific community as a very premature announcement that they should have done preliminary publishing on this. They came out with a very, very, and again, totally different scientist, but they made a very provocative statement where any other institute would say, you know what, there are a few more steps that we want to go from before we go ahead and make this statement.
And I totally see where you're coming from, because it makes me uncomfortable as well to see any scientific institution getting all Hollywood in their announcements. And I understand that's effective if what you want to do is raise awareness and raise funding, but that's not appropriate for science. What you should do is you should be finding the truth. And I totally get where you're coming from. But unfortunately, I don't sit down and read a lot of journals. So it's exciting for, I want to get into science, but I have to have kind of that Hollywood zazz in order to make me watch it. And I know that's the place of programs like ours instead of, it should be the place of programs like ours, you know, to translate.
But I love crazy ideas in science. I absolutely am a champion of crazy ideas in science.
I love crazy big ideas more than I love science.
Okay, so what I'm imagining everybody at home wants is a link to where they could read the scathing article, because I want to see.
That'll go up on the site too.
So go to weirdthings.com
and look for this episode.
And we'll see again. And it may totally merit out to be true. And that's, again, my skepticism stems from, it was a very profound disappointment. And for me, the disappointment for the Martian meteorite came from I was excited about the idea and then realizing how far out they went to make that claim. And I felt, I felt cheated, I guess.
After watching all 5 seasons of The Wire, it has fundamentally altered my understanding of the way bureaucracies work and the way bizarre things happen for reasons that perhaps they shouldn't. And now, whereas before I'd be
puking the stats.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you need, you know, I can see somebody who's frustrated with the funding at NASA saying, well, maybe we got to make a big announcement.
Yeah, I'm just saying, come on and say, we have a discovery that fundamentally alters how we think of life. Boom. I understand that.
Well, and meanwhile, that week we found out there was another paper came out that said there may be 3 times as many stars in the galaxy as we thought, which just blows my mind. We had 2 months ago, which got nowhere near the press coverage we have. Craig Venter announced a side project, which was a whole company to develop rapid vaccines, to develop vaccines in hours, not months. Days. Yeah, and that's a pretty look at the, and based upon solid, and this is a guy, Ventner's a guy who gets a lot of criticism for, you know, having press conferences for everything, but know, gosh darn. I just finished reading the Genomics War. Fascinating book. Fascinating about that whole thing. So it's a thing where I understand on one side you want to get attention to it, but what did Carl Sagan say? Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And the purpose, this was a press release about a paper that's submitted to a scientific journal where it's now going to be analyzed and critiqued. And this Redfield's paper, she's going to submit to Science, her critique of it. And I mean, it is, she calls it flim flam.
I think
NASA's
busted.
Yeah. Oh, you beat me to it. I was going to say NASA got straight gold busted.
The fudge wins again.
I hate you, the fudge.
Dimitri Levine is the guy who's going to be talked about right now. His sister Delia bought this spot for him. And their sister Avril is really upset that either bought one for her. You know, she's already out there singing about whose boyfriend she wants to be involved with. You know, she works hard for you guys, Delia and Dimitri. Especially you, Dimitri. Remember that time? Well, maybe you were the inspiration for Skater Boy. I'm not saying you are. Neither is she. You know, just maybe. Think about it. Would she like a $30 weird thing spot? Yeah. Maybe. Just a little bit. It's not bitter. So if you think that at Christmas party, when mom calls everybody to the dinner table and asks why nobody's speaking to each other, then, you know, just, it's not because of that. Dimitri Levine, thank you, sir. And your sister. And your other sister.
It's holiday time. And
yeah, you're going to be seeing that extended family that you thought you'd left behind. You're going to hear
when
those
you actually
nicknames.
Left them behind in a flaming wreckage of a prop plane that you were taking.
You're going to hear those scary nicknames from when you were 12.
So,
Spiro.
Knock, knock. This was a story that went viral online, although it missed me when it first came out. This is...
All this right. is a good sign because Andrew never cracks himself up as he sets up this story. So I'm already thrilled.
All right. So
this
I went
like
to
green clouds before podcast. A tornado right now.
So Brian, here you are late at night. You decide to do some shopping on Amazon, some late last minute shopping.
I'm looking at rape whistles and daggers.
Yeah, of course. So you got to protect yourself on the road and you do some orders. You click that Amazon Prime. It's going to come there the next day.
Yeah, dude, for freezies.
All right. So hear that knock?
I do now.
FedEx. All right.
It's not already here, is it?
Oh, no, wait. Also, Brian, you open the door.
Did you just make a door opening sound effect?
Wait. Let's time this right. So you hear that. This is the next day. So you go there.
Okay, wait.
And you hear the sound. FedEx!
Now, what do you do, Brian?
Well, I open the door, but then I walk over.
walk over to
the door.
Meanwhile, there's a Western on television. You dirty rat!
All right. So who's at the door?
You open up the door. You look down. There's a package. Then, bam, something bites you in the head.
Are you kidding me?
I'm serious.
So you got done. I'm shopping on Amazon.
Now you know that glee when you see that box, when you see that Amazon label. That's a good thing to see. You know that little your little tummy feels good because look, it's Amazon, right? Right? You feel that?
Yeah. Even, look down. Even though you probably know what it is since you're the one who ordered it, you still feel this childlike glee.
Oh, sure.
You're like, yeah. So there you are, looking at the box, and bam, you get bitten in the head.
And then immediately following that sense of childlike wonder, you have the slow creeping darkness of you going unconscious as something has bitten you in the head.
As you turn around and fall down, you look up, and what do you see? Anybody want to guess? Anybody want to guess?
I'm going to say
daughter.
Justin Robert Young with a lead pipe.
No, it's a bite.
Well, with novelty teeth duct taped to the end.
With the Dracula teeth.
Yes.
Anybody?
I call this one Nosferatu.
With Hello Kitty stickers on them.
With my dying breath, I'm like, I hate you, the fudge.
So you turn around, you know what you see? Anybody?
No, I have no idea.
You know, I wanted to say, I mean, it'd be like a dog, maybe? I don't know.
All you see is the darkness fades, or darkness fades to darkness. Darkness fading, I guess, would just be more darkness. Is a Christmas wreath.
What?
In distant, you hear caroling in the background.
By the way, he neglected to inform you that you first got that Amazon package in July, and it is you coming out of your coma to hear Christmas music.
This is one of our shorter scenarios.
Not a lot of twists and turns in this one.
You open a door and you die.
We're not dead yet. You're comatose. You're
fading.
There.
Yeah, you're fading away.
Any theories as life ebbs away? You're not going to die from this, but let's pretend that you do. Any ideas? Any guesses?
I'm going to say it's a Boy Scout because they're always selling that greenery.
There's right, nobody no,
Christmas,
around.
Christmas wreath is all you see.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Santa Claus.
I mean, I think we
Santa
already did. We already did a small animal, and I can think of nothing that would bear as its calling card for murder a Christmas wreath.
The Christmas wreath killer strikes again. Actually,
and there we go. At the crime scene, it's Spiro and the Fudge.
They were like, hang on, let me call my contact at the Sun. We got exactly. Another one. The Christmas biter. He's struck again.
So, the
calling card, the wreath.
What just did you really like any like TV show where they have the or movie where they have the actor play two roles? Of course, Spiro looks down at the victim and goes, "Poor ugly son of a bee."
Yeah, and it's me with a goatee.
Exactly.
Well, Fudge. Yeah. So Fudge pulls up.
Yeah.
And pulls up. You walk on the scene, and there's Spiro unconscious on the ground. His hand. He still has sort of the smile from the Amazon package, and okay. Maybe because it was a present he was going to give to you.
Oh,
okay.
I'm uncomfortable with the relationship that we have.
The door is ajar. He's half in, half out. They're picking. He's in the act of picking up the package. He's there, and there's blood trickling down his forehead.
All right. Now I'm going to call for cops, and I'm going to go ahead and call for animal control because, you know, I don't know what. And I'm going to say it right in your
–
I'm going to pick you up by your ear, Spiro, and go – while I'm calling in, I'm going to go, and I'd like animal control too. All right. Just to take a look, how do I see fang marks or anything?
Yeah, you see fang marks.
So it is a fang like an animal, not like a bite like a human.
But who knocked on the door?
Well, that's the mystery that the Fudge
the door was locked from the inside.
And who brought the Amazon package? Maybe the package was from like the actual place, the Amazon, and that's why there was a snake that jumped out and bit me.
It turns out it wasn't just a novelty can of snakes that you had gotten to delightfully surprise me around the holiday times. It was an actual can of real snakes.
We should start selling those actual can of snakes.
What if we sold those? It was actual can of real snakes. Seriously, don't open this. And there's peanuts inside. All right. Here's what I'm doing. If I'm investigating this, of course, Spiro has to go to the hospital. I'm investigating the delivery of the package, his order history, and whether or not this was an actual delivery. Andrew, do I find that it is a real delivery or not?
It's a real delivery. Real delivery.
Is the package opened in any way?
No.
So it's an open. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and assume.
Look at the wreath. It's like this is my corpse. That's not Spiro, your partner, talking. This is my corpse of dead Brian saying, "The wreath, examine the wreath."
So wait a minute. Is Spiro / Brian dead or is he in
the hospital? Alive. He's alive.
All right.
Okay, so it's actually me whispering saying the wreath.
All right, I'm checking the wreath. Is there anything odd about it, Andrew?
No.
This mystery is unsolvable, I say to the heavens.
All right. So you want to know what happened?
God, yes.
Yes, right. I really do. This is a good
one. I do. And then, by the way, this one, as the light slowly fades out of Spiro's eyes, yeah, and well, my partner dies, the next day's headlines after Hero Cop is Hero Cop disgraced. John the Fudge Fucharski watches partner, in quotes, die.
Does nothing to save him.
So
screams to the heavens in vain.
Man from Louisiana heard a knock at his door, was a package delivery, went outside to go get it, the delivery guy was gone, and all of a sudden, something bites him in his head.
Is it a bat? Is it a bat? Can I place a bet on a bat?
You can place a bet on a bat.
I want to make a bat bet.
How much you going to bet on the bat bet?
Bat bet is better be...
Are you betting the house? Because the house knows. I don't know if you realize that.
I will bet $20.
I take that bet.
By the way, I'm going to back your bat bet and bet big. $40.
So you're gonna back up my bat bet with a big blind.
Yes, right. Yes.
Wrong.
Oh, it's a bluff.
Wrong.
Not a bat.
Nope. Snake.
It was the original hypothesis was true.
So this gentleman,
by the way, animal control, right in both cases.
Mark Jones of St. Tammany Parish, Louisiana, says that he went to go outside to go get a parcel and gets bit in the head, bit in the face, apparently, by what he thinks is a rat snake that had somehow managed to climb a vertical wall to get into the wreath.
What?
Okay, so the wreath is on the door, right?
Yes.
So he opens the door to pick up the package, and meanwhile, he's swinging in this coiled snake, like inches from his face, and the snake is like, now's a good time, and just springs right at him, bites his face, and then just saunters on off.
Doesn't this sound like the final murder plan of an evil wizard? Like an evil wizard's going to charm a snake and be like, ah, but wait for him to leave his domicile and then strike.
Yeah, pretty much. So another thing to worry about.
Well, that's good because I was entirely too comfortable opening my door for packages before now. Thank you.
Do you realize that for the next... you know, however many weeks it is till Christmas, by the time this comes out, that we're going to have at least one or two people just like opening their door like really fast or trying to slam it into the wall or turning
banging
around
on the
and,
door,
like, pressing, kicking.
Like the door knocks for the package and then they bang back like to scare any snake off at the UPS guy.
They just take a running start and shoulder into their door to knock a snake loose.
That is awesome.
And so brings to an end another episode of the Weird Things Podcast. But, hold on. Oh, there's still another full episode yet to go. Well, we're at the end. There's no more time. Well, we can just split it into two episodes. And so that's what we'll do. Keep your eye on iTunes, WeirdThings.com, and WeirdThingsCom on Twitter for part two. Who put that sheep's head in the IKEA microwave? Can Andrew, Justin, and Brian outsmart a panda bear? And our new favorite law enforcement duo tackles a crime across the Atlantic. It's part two of this episode entitled Spiro and the Fudge. Mamma mia!
Listener shout out, or maybe sponsor the podcast. Email weirdthingsmail@gmail.com. The same address where you can make a suggestion or write your own scenario. weirdthingsmail@gmail.com.